Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need not tell you that this is a moment where there's a lot of angst, anger, outrage, and on the other side, smirks, smug satisfaction over current policies of the government regarding immigration into this country. But I want to introduce Tom Brokaw, who will introduce another point of view. Tom?
The long lens.
Okay, thank you. Yes, there is a long lens in which it's necessary to look at this country's attitude toward immigration. It has always welcomed immigrants and at the same time shunned them. In the 1880s, Chinese workers were imported into this country to help build the western terminus of a transcontinental railroad. They were called coolies. And as soon as they were finished, California wanted nothing more to do with them, even going so far as to pass something called the Chinese Exclusion Act. There were signs in Boston not that long ago that said, no dogs or Irish. In the early run-up to World War II, boatloads of would-be immigrants from countries suddenly occupied by the Nazis were turned away from these shores. Boatloads sent back to their deaths. So, yes, we have a history of welcoming immigrants, and we have a history of shunning them. And, like the attempts to remove references to slavery, sometimes you don't hear about those attempts to shun immigrants. Tom?
The long lens.
Thank you. Today on the program, I'm going to pay musical tribute to a man who I think most people who know anything about music recognize as an amazing genius. I had the privilege and honor of being on stage with him, Brian Wilson, at one point during Jazz Fest in New Orleans. We were having a conversation in front of an audience. I knew that the longer the question one might ask him, the shorter the answer one would get. I saw that in action at South by Southwest a month earlier. So I just engaged in conversation with him, and it was pretty friendly until about 20 minutes in when I said something or asked him something. And his response was, wait a minute, are you trying to make me feel good or feel bad or what? And I realized at that point that he was a man who had been taught from his childhood days not to feel safe. So a tribute to a man who persevered regardless, Brian Wilson, on this edition of Hello, Welcome to the Show.
But long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, though life would still go on, believe me, the world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, here's Ralph.
AI to the rescue, smarter every day. From work to play, it leads the way. Innovation, creation, it's here to stay. AI makes life better, hip hip hooray.
Hip, but not necessarily hip hip. Toy giant Mattel has signed a deal with OpenAI to bring the industry's, the tech industry's buzziest technology to the young generation. The partnership will see the maker of Barbie, Hot Wheels, and Fisher-Price toys use OpenAI in products it's going to release later this year. The goal is to make toys smarter and thus more attractive to kids. Interesting premise. Who will then presumably deploy pester power to loosen parents' purse strings. That's a phrase from the British tech journal Register. Quote, each of our products and experiences is designed to inspire fans, entertain audiences, and enrich lives through play. That's from Josh Silverman, chief franchise officer at Mattel. Did you know when you went to career counseling in high school, you could grow up to be a chief franchise officer? Neither did I. He makes no mention of precise product plans. There was a little fiasco on a similar thing 10 years ago with the Hello Barbie line of toys. And Mattel teamed up with Toy Talk to build a Barbie that kids could talk to about anything on their minds. Hey, Barbie. How come you're so thin? Once the child pressed on Barbie's belt buckle, the doll would relay the recorded comments via Wi-Fi to the doll maker's servers, which supplied voice recognition technology. Mattel would send a signal back to the doll, triggering a pre-recorded reply, and parents would get a weekly or monthly email about what their children were discussing with their pal. Made of plastic, Mattel did not use recorded conversations to push ads at children, but to train an AI to recognize children's voices, which can be very difficult to achieve. The devices caused a bit of a storm among parents and educators who were a little freaked out. Mattel has hopefully learned some lessons from that incident. Or maybe not. How would you feel if your internet search history was put online for others to see? That may be happening to some users of Meta AI without them realizing it. According to the BBC, people's prompts to the artificial intelligence tool and the results are posted on a public feed. One internet safety expert said it was a, quote, huge user experience and security problem, unquote, as some posts are easily traceable through usernames and profile pictures to social media accounts. This means some people may be unwittingly telling the world about things they may not want others to know they have searched for, such as asking the AI to generate scantily clad characters or help them cheat on tests. Sounds like humans. Meta has been contacted for comment. Hasn't given any yet. It's not clear if the users know that their searches are being posted into a public feed on the Meta AI app and website. The practice isn't automatic. If people choose to share a post, a message pops up which says, "Prompt you post are public and visible to everyone. Avoid sharing personal or sensitive information," unquote. But the BBC found several examples of people uploading photos of school or university test questions and asking Meta for answers. One of the chats is entitled, "Generative AI Tackles Math Problems with Ease." There were also searches for women and anthropomorphic animal characters wearing very little clothing. One search which could be traced back to a person's Instagram account because of their username and profile pic, asked Meta AT to generate an image of an animated character lying outside wearing only underwear. Can't say I blame him for wanting. Meanwhile, tech news outlet TechCrunch has reported examples of people posting intimate medical questions, such as how to deal with an inner thigh rash. I think we'd all like to know that answer. Meanwhile, a new report says AI companies have plundered about 130,000 films and TV shows without permission to train their generative AI models. British Film Institute published the findings in a wide-ranging report that explores the opportunities and risks that AI presents to the film, TV, video game, and visual effects industries. The AI in the screen sector report warns that the technology poses a threat to the fundamental economics of the screen sector, unquote, and that copyright is the dominant concern around AI today. The BFI warns that the biggest challenge facing the film industry, no, not that, is the use of intellectual property. That's what they call it, to train generative AI models without compensating or seeking permission from rights holders. That resulted in over 130,000 film and TV scripts being used in training. Quote, as generative models learn the structure and language of screen storytelling, they can then replicate those structures and create new outputs at a fraction of the cost and expense of the original works. That says the report. These learned capabilities can be used to assist human creatives. I guess creative is now a noun, but AI tools may also be used to compete against the original creators whose work they were trained on, unquote. That would be irony in action, wouldn't it? The report also raises concerns that AI could wipe out entry-level roles. Those, of course, are essential for bringing new talent into the industries. In a statement, the British Film Institute notes that while AI is already part of the filmmaking process, such as in the post-production of The Brutalist, ow! The rapid rise of generative AI represents a critical turning point. An urgent strategic action is needed. Not just urgent action. Just urgent tactical action. When AI can easily identify a scene and pinpoint a location, it doesn't matter if there isn't any personal information in the photo. A stalker can make use of just a location. This is from petapixel.com. Won't you petapixel today? In April, ChatGPT users stumbled across the AI's unnervingly accurate ability to locate where just about any photo was taken. At first blush, seems harmless. A recent story on Vox points out it's now very easy to stalk from someone from just their social media photos. It's not a new concern. Worth pointing out again, TechCrunch had already asked AI about these privacy concerns. "We've worked to train our models," says AI, "to refuse requests for private or sensitive information, added safeguards intended to prohibit the model from identifying private individuals and images, and actively monitor and for and take action against abuse of our policies," unquote. But that doesn't directly address the problem. Vox writer Kelsey Piper explains that a stalker would get everything they need out of a photo without it sharing private or sensitive information. After sharing a photo of a beach, which just shows your sand, your waves, and your cloudy sky, OpenAI's O3 was able to correctly guess the location. Some people will argue that personal data has not been personal. For some time, Google and Meta have been ravenous for personal data and collected constantly. But the difference here, if you see a distinction, is that Google and Meta use that data to sell ads. OpenAI's product is far more open. Quote, "While Google has incentives not to have a major privacy-related incident, users would be angry with them, regulators would investigate them, and they have a lot of business to lose. The AI companies proliferating today are much less kept in line by public opinion," the piece in Vox says. When an MIT technology review explored AI energy usage recently, the conclusion did not align with Sam Altman's recent claim, he's the head of OpenAI, that, quote, "intelligence too cheap to meter is well within grasp," unquote. But the MIT tech people cited research from Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory estimated AI-specific purposes in data centers will consume between 165 and 326 terawatt-hours of energy in 3 years, enough to power almost a quarter of all U.S. households. And speaking of percentages, good news for customers frustrated by wading through pools of AI stuff in search of customer service. Businesses are reportedly turning their back to human agents amid AI integration challenges. This doesn't mean, you know, the ones in show business. This means AI agents. In a report released by Gartner, half of the organizations surveyed said that plans to significantly reduce their customer service workforce would be abandoned within a couple of years, quote, highlighting the complexities or challenges of transitioning to AI-driven customer service models, unquote. There's a poll of 163 customer service and support leaders. It found that almost all, like 95%, planned to retain human agents alongside AI, quote, avoiding the pitfalls of a hasty transition to an agentless model. Again, we're not talking about the fashion. You get it. Anyone who's dealt with a business that has removed humans from its customer service portal will be nodding. A failure to understand what AI can and cannot do has led to some hasty rollouts and big promises that have resulted in customers having either to navigate through systems so restricted they might as well be navigating an encyclopedia, or come up against the brick wall of an AI unable to understand or resolve their query. Brian Weber, an analyst in the Gartner Customer Service and Support Practice, well, it'll make perfect, told the Register that projects where businesses expected generative AI to solve all their customers' queries, quote, are not going as planned due to both the results and the unexpected costs. Customer service and support leaders expect cost savings from generative AI, but they often can underestimate the total cost of ownership, making savings difficult to realize, unquote. Yeah, it's magic. It's just a little more expensive magic than you thought it would be, you know. Hip, hip, hooray.
There's a world where I can go and tell my
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
looks like Bus Club.
SpaceX's Starlink satellites, that's a company, SpaceX and Starlink, owned by Elon, are leaking radio waves to such an extent that it could threaten our ability to study and understand the early universe. That's according to astronomers, who I guess care about the early universe. Unlike Elon, he cares about Mars. Interference from the thousands of Starlink satellites in orbit, where they provide global internet service, has been a continuing concern for astronomers. They say the radio emissions from the craft could affect sensitive telescopes that observe distant and faint radio sources. SpaceX has worked with astronomers to try to prevent this interference by switching off their internet beams when they fly over key telescopes. Turns out that isn't enough. Stephen Tingey at Curtin University in Australia, and his colleagues have now tracked the signals from nearly 2,000 Starlink satellites. Yeah, there are that many up there. No, there are more. Using prototype telescope in Australia, this planned collection of more than 100,000 small linked telescopes, that's the Square Kilometer Array Observatory, is currently under construction to study the early universe. Researchers found this goal could be threatened by Starlink signals, affecting up to a third of the data collected at some frequencies. They also found the satellites were emitting signals at two frequency ranges that are protected for radio astronomy, and so shouldn't be used by Starlink. However, it's thought that these satellite transmissions are unintentional. Yeah, they make mistakes up there. The leaking emissions are 10,000 times stronger than the faint radio signals from neutral hydrogen clouds that existed when the first stars began to form. Those are signals that astronomers hope to observe in order to understand the early universe. Yeah. But Mars, if you look at the signal strength produced by these unintended emissions, it's not unusual for them to be comparable to the brightest natural radio sources in the sky, says Tingey at the university. It's like taking the strongest sources in the sky and putting a bunch more artificial ones in the sky and making them move around a lot. That has a lot of impact, especially on experiments that seek to be ultra-sensitive, unlike Elon, who seeks to be something else. Sounds like Musk love. And now,
we've got the ultra-modern
Governor Greg Abbott of Texas has signed a law that allows oil and gas companies to treat and sell fracking wastewater, it's also known as your produced water, for reuse. That could include discharging it into rivers and streams, or even applying it on farmland for crop irrigation. Those Texas tomatoes. The move comes as the state faces a growing water shortage due to population growth, aging infrastructure, not including the governor, and prolonged drought. Supporters say the law is a way to supplement water supplies and promote recycling. Critics say it could contaminate the very land Texans depend on for food and survival. Oh, that. Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller believes the concept has potential if it's done right. Well, we need water, he said. We don't really care what the source is as long as it's good, clean water that we can grow crops with. Fracking water would be fine. Unquote. Apparently unaware of the multitude of nasty little chemicals contained in fracking produced water. Miller said the goal won't be just to treat the water, but to fully remove harmful substances like heavy metals to ensure it's clean and safe. He added there are methods to achieve that. The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality would be responsible for regulating the process. Quote, as long as this water meets those strict guidelines, I don't have a problem with it, Miller said. The Agriculture Commissioner also suggested that the most logical use for that produced water, once it's treated, may not be in crops at all. I would suggest probably a better use of it would be fracking. Let the oil industry reuse it, he said. They use millions and millions of gallons in fracking. We certainly don't need the deep injection wells. Those are proven to cause earthquakes. So we need to do something different with it. Unquote. But in Johnson County, Texas, where farmers are already fighting toxic sewage-based fertilized biosolids, there's outrage that lawmakers gave fracking wastewater the green light, despite it containing many of the same carcinogenic chemicals. What the frack? And now, ladies and gentlemen, you may have noticed that there are some differences between Trump's first... did I say Trump? The felon-in-chief's first administration and his second one. The first one had, as you recall, people around him who tried to restrain him from doing certain things. He's free of that this time around. But some things remain the same. His flair for a certain kind of rhetoric and his persistence. So, for example, despite having an almost breakup with Elon Musk over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, the large spending cuts and tax cuts piece of legislation going through Congress, the felon-in-chief continues to support it, promote it, even though, of course, other things are going on right now that might distract the public attention away from that bill. It's not the first time he's been promoting a particular bill with a particular kind of language. You may remember that he referred to the stuff on January 6th. What was the riot? Riots are what happening in Los Angeles. The stuff at January 6th, as a the crowd was there expressing love. He knows about love, especially tough love.
This should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love. Truly, it should be a bill of love.
I started out packing the birthers. Gave me a big head of steam. Took the escalator down to knock Mexicans. That made the liberals scream. I talk like a Manhattan mobster. That's not who I really am. I'm tough,
like an overcooked lobster, and soft like an over bacon. Deep down inside, I'm half empty, like a hand that's too small for a glove. I've paid some bills in my lifetime, but I'm past due on the bill of love. As due on the bill of love. I'd like question mark and the Mysterians, but I'm not shedding 96 tears over what I said about the Nigerians. That only got me the biggest cheers. I said there's AIDS in all of the Haitians. It really did great for my polls, so I kicked off the United Nations. Believe me, there's no gold in those holes. Way deep down, I'm a cupcake, but my bush keeps coming to shove. Thank God they don't hire collectors to make you pay the bill of love. Make you pay the bill of love. Like a hand that's too small for a glove. I've paid some bills in my lifetime, but I'm past due on the bill of love. As due on the bill of love. As due on the bill of love. As due on the bill of love. Dollar, and we'll settle on the bill of love.
From Santa Monica, this is Le Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, some news about a world where, according to the New York Times, the felon in chief is making a lot of money right about now. I wonder how he's getting it. Oh, there must be some suckers out there. It's a crypto winter. Speaking of which, Shaquille O'Neal, you remember him, basketball star of yesterday, yesteryear, yestercentury, agreed to pay $1.8 million to settle a class action suit brought by consumers of FTX. That's the collapsed cryptocurrency exchange. The suit accused him and other celebrities of illegally promoting the exchange. Settlement disclosed in a filing in District Court, Florida, this past week, signaled an imminent resolution for O'Neal in a case that had questioned the liability of celebrities and influencers who endorse cryptocurrencies. Oh, wait, doesn't that include the... and other risky financial products. At the center of the dispute was FTX, a cryptocurrency exchange that suddenly collapsed in 2022, taking just $8 billion in customer funds with it. Sam Bankman-Fried, founder of the exchange, you may remember, convicted on charges of fraud, conspiracy, money laundering. He's doing 25 in the hard place. The demise exposed the underbelly of the loosely regulated world of cryptocurrencies, and it devastated investors who in some cases experienced crippling financial losses. Well, you win some. It also embroiled in legal action celebrities, influencers, and venture capital firms that had endorsed the exchange, FTX customers argued. They'd been deceived. They thought it was magic money. Back in 2022, a group of customers of FTX sued O'Neill and a string of other high-profile actors and athletes for compensation. O'Neill's $1.8 million settlement, finalized in April, makes him one of several defendants who have settled the suit. Football player Trevor Lawrence and popular content creators were among a group who agreed last year to a settlement about $1.5 million. Adam Moskowitz, a lawyer representing FTX customers, said the timing of O'Neill's settlement meant he had to pay only a portion of what he collected from FTX. Other defendants in the suit, you might remember, Tom Brady, Larry David, Steph Curry, have argued for the claims to be dismissed. A judge agreed to dismiss some of them. Conspiracy and deceptive practices allowed others to proceed. The case is set to go to trial and involves class damages that could total over $10 billion. Larry David's got that on him. Six elite footballers, including World Cup winners and former Barcelona and Sevilla stars, are facing fraud allegations after a crypto company they promoted vanished with millions in investor funds. Sounds like the same story, just with Spanish names, leaving thousands holding worthless digital tokens. This from Decrypt.com. Barcelona's Fifth District Court has launched a criminal investigation into a crypto and NFT scheme. Remember NFTs? They were so cool. Allegedly fronted by a group of Spanish and Argentine businessmen with promotional help from the players. No Trump involvement in that one. Filed by 12 victims earlier this year, the case accuses Shirtum Europa and its promoters of defrauding investors of at least $3.4 million through the sale of non-functional NFTs. They were so cool. They were tied to footballer image rights, purchased with the company's in-house token. Yes, sir. And consumer advocates applauded a move by the Colorado State Legislature to place guardrails on so-called cryptocurrency ATMs. Scammers continue to turn to the machines to further their crimes, according to a Denver TV news source. Last week, the governor signed a new law effective next year that creates a daily limit of $2,000 for new cryptocurrency ATM users. Why are they buying it in dollars? It also requires the machines to provide a receipt. The law requires the owner of a virtual currency kiosk to refund a new user's first transaction if the money is transmitted to a wallet outside the United States and the user contacts the company and law enforcement with proof that that transaction was fraudulent. That's easy to... The amount of frauds happening via these crypto ATM machines is huge, said Amy Nofziger, director of victim support for the Fraud Watch Network run by AARP. We're hearing it across the country, she says. It's really affecting Colorado consumers. Nofziger told the story of a woman in Las Vegas who fed $80,000 into one of the machines connected to a scam. Clerks at the store watched. They were watching her and they felt bad because, like, she started to hunch over because she was getting so tired, they brought her a chair to sit down to feed the rest of the money in. Unquote. The limits passed by the legislature won't necessarily stop people from becoming victims to scams, but they stop the bleeding, according to Nofziger. Scammers have increasingly turned to the machines as a quick and effective way to profit off their victims. Sometimes cryptocurrency transactions are difficult for law enforcement to track, making it easier to get money out of the United States quickly. Isn't that the point of the exercise? It's crypto winner.
The diamond necklace played the pawn, hand in hand some drummed along, woe to a handsome man at baton. A blind class aristocracy, back through the opera glass, you see the pit in the pendulum drum. Colonnaded ruins, diamond. hung velvet overtaking me, dim chandelier awaken me to a song dissolved in the dawn. The music hall, a costly bow, the music all is lost for now to a muted trumpeter's swan. Towers, the hour was strike the street, quicksilver moon. Carriage across the fog, to step to lamplight cellar tune. The laughs come hard in auld lang syne. The glass was raised to fire and rose the foam of the wine, the dim last toasting. Why let poor ado die? A choke of grief, heart hardened I, beyond belief, a broken man too tough to cry. Surfs up, spring you gave. I heard the word, wonderful thing, a children's song,
of the warm. A team of planetary scientists, ecologists, and marine biologists affiliated with several institutions in the U.S. and U.K. has found evidence suggesting that parts of the world's oceans have already passed what has come to be known as a planetary boundary. Don't go there. This is from phys.org. For the paper published in the journal Global Change Biology, Tom.
Global Change Biology.
Thank you. The group gathered and used new and historical physical and chemical measurements gained from ice cores, along with computer models and prior studies of marine life, to come up with an assessment of the impact of increased levels of carbon dioxide on the world's oceans. Oh, just that. Over the past several decades, scientists have been learning more about the impact of increased amounts of CO2 in the atmosphere and its impacts on the world's oceans. They've learned, for example, more carbon dioxide is absorbed by ocean water compared to the time before the Industrial Revolution. Well, they didn't know about carbon dioxide. The carbon dioxide reacts with water molecules, resulting in the formation of, say it with me now, carbonic acid, and a subsequent reduction in carbonate ions available for use by sea creatures in making their shells. That tends to lead to damaged coral reefs, degradation of the habitats around them, making life difficult for the fish and other creatures that live there. Well, they should have my job. They think that's difficult. Other scientists have been developing theories regarding the amount of harm the planet can sustain due to global warming, pollution, habitat destruction, and, you know, the other human activities before the onset of destructive consequences occurs, such as new weather systems developing that cause widespread destruction. But in this new study, the research team suggests a seventh of nine planetary boundaries, six of which have are thought to have been reached already. The seventh is currently in the process of being crossed. That boundary is ocean acidification. Happens when the amount of calcium carbonate in seawater hits a 20% reduction to the levels pre-industrial revolution. By using a wide variety of resources and findings from prior studies, the researchers discovered the planetary boundary for ocean acidification has been crossed by approximately 40% of the ocean water on the Earth and 60% of the subsurface water. Such crossings of the boundary, they found, began at least 5 years ago. We didn't notice. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. The researchers note that a planetary boundary does not represent a tipping point. It's still possible, they claim, to reverse what's been done by ceasing the emission of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. All right, well, it is bad news. And now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Okay, first, this week's BBC apology from the broadcaster in Britain. British comedian David Walliams is facing backlash after he reportedly did two Nazi salutes during a TV show recording. He was one of several celebrity panelists on an episode of Would I Lie to You, recorded on Tuesday. During the segment, which was being recorded for BBC's Christmas special, actress Helen George was reenacting a prompt about spraining her wrist from waving when she went on a dancing tour in 2015. That reportedly led to Walliams doing a Nazi salute. He left the audience shocked after he made the offensive gesture, unprompted, two times. The journalist who was in the audience told the BBC he was shocked at what I had seen. A comment was made by the show's host, Rob Brydon, a good guy. He made a comment toward Walliams that reminded him the show would be broadcast over the holiday with families tuning in. That was presumably a means of discouraging him. The comedian did the gesture a second time. Journalists told the BBC the atmosphere was uncomfortable and weird. The other panelists and the show's host all tried to move past that uncomfortable move, go on with the show. His teammates looked unsure what to do and they were not laughing. Following the recording, the BBC shared a statement issuing an apology to the audience members present for any offense caused and said that the use of such an offensive gesture is completely unacceptable. The statement was also released by a spokesperson for the owner of the show's production company, Banijay UK, which called the move completely unacceptable in any context. We apologize to those who were at the recording for any offense caused. Dateline New Orleans, a jury in federal court ruled that a New Orleans police officer who shot and killed a puppy had violated its owner's constitutional rights but was shielded from punishment under qualified immunity because of his government role. The jury awarded $10,000 damages for emotional distress to the puppy's owner to be paid by the city. An additional $400 was awarded for the rescued dog's market value. The jury found the city held a degree of liability tied to the officer's actions, but was not ultimately responsible for killing Apollo, the puppy. The jury ruled the officer violated state laws of negligence and wrongful destruction of property. They also found the owners and the police partners had some liability in the dog's death. The city and police department did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The body camera showed Apollo, the puppy, died in the arms of his distraught owners, who were later diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. Quote, "How could you shoot a puppy?" screamed Apollo's owner immediately after the incident. In footage, the police officer repeatedly apologized, but also asked why they'd let the dogs out. I remember that. Multiple internal police investigations found that the officer's actions violated department policies. The officer did not consider alternative options such as kicking the dog or using a taser. In violation of department protocol, he's not wearing body armor or equipped with a baton. This is the second time he has fatally shot a dog. But he's sorry. Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez apologized for the corruption scandals within his socialist party this week, hours after a leading member of his political organization was implicated in a kickback scandal. Quote, I appear here to apologize to the citizens and supporters of the Spanish Socialist Workers' Party, he said. The extraordinary public apology came hours after the Spanish press reported that the Central Operative Unit of Civil Guard National Police Force has evidence linking the Socialist Party's third highest-ranking member with the reception of kickbacks. And in news of K-pop bands, no, these are J-pop bands, actually, BTS member Jungkook has issued a letter of apology for his Make Tokyo Great Again hat. He wrote, Hello, this is Jungkook. My heart is heavy over the fact that I am writing this right after our reunion. I sincerely apologize for disappointing and displeasing many people through the hat I wore during rehearsal. It was due to my inadequacy that I went on stage wearing a hat without checking the historical and political meaning held in the words, and for that I'm deeply reflecting on myself. I'm just sorry. There's no room for excuses. It was my inadequacy and carelessness which brought about this situation. From now on, I will act with greater care and consideration. I will humbly accept all criticism and judgment directed toward me from my mistake. The hat was disposed of immediately. Once again, I apologize, unquote. Yes, it takes a boy band member to apologize like a grown-up. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the side effects of the week.
Serious side effects include increased ketones in blood or urine, which can be fatal. Stop Jardiance and call your doctor right away if you have nausea, vomiting, stomach pain, tiredness, trouble breathing, or increased ketones. Jardiance may cause dehydration that can suddenly worsen kidney function and make you feel dizzy, lightheaded, or weak upon standing. Genital yeast infections in men and women, urinary tract infections, low blood sugar, or a rare life-threatening bacterial infection between and around the anus and genitals can occur. Call your doctor right away if you have fever or feel weak or tired and pain, tenderness, swelling or redness in the genital area. Don't use if allergic to Jardiance. Stop use if you have a serious allergic reaction. Call your doctor if you have rash, swelling, difficulty breathing or swallowing. You may have increased risk for lower limb loss.
Tom, what was he saying there?
Lower limb loss.
Got it.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. Gentle moon on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Softly smile, I know she must be kind. When I look in her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Vibrations a happening with her. Gotta keep those loving good vibrations a happening
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. Next week, same time, same station on the radio. We're back. And on your audio device of choice whenever you want it. The email address for this program, a chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts and your playlist of the music heard here on, all at harryshearer.com. I'm on Blue Sky at Harry Shearer. And yes, I did answer Brian by saying everybody here wants to make you feel good. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change It's Easy radio network. So long from the home of the homeless.